travel, so I'm going to leave it alone. So welcome. We want to welcome everybody that's online with us on Zoom. And the room here is rather empty, but I do welcome those that are here. We're going to start off our meeting with the invocation and pledge given by Commissioner Ron Wesson.
Thank you, Chairlady. Okay. Thank you, Chair Lee. I'd like to read for the invocation a prayer that was written in 1549 and appears in the Book of Common Prayer of the Christian Church. Pray with me, ladies and gentlemen. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all men, we acknowledge and bewail our manifest sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed by thought, word, and deed against thine divine majesty, provoking most justly thy wrath and indignation against us. We do earnestly repent and be heartily sorrowly for these our misdoings. The remembrance of them is grievous unto us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For thy Son of our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Join me, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Wesson. Next on the agenda is public comments. And before we begin, I'd just like to say that we do have rules for public comment. So if your comment is not read, you can certainly reach out to Ms. Courtney and find out why. Those comments are also listed on our Facebook page and our website, I believe. So you can look at those rules, but I won't read them out. So if you have a public comment, you can send it through Facebook or the link that is shared. So at this time, Courtney, are there any public comments?
Yes, ma'am. And before I begin, if it's okay with you, Chair, I would like to just give a brief overview of our public comments rules and procedures.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you.
All righty. The Berkeley County Board of Commissioners is committed to allowing members of the public an opportunity to offer comments and suggestions for the efficient and effective administration of government in order to balance the need and desire for such citizen input with the necessity of disposing of its regular business in the course of the meeting. The board does hereby establish the following public comment procedure. During regular meetings, citizens are allowed to speak during both public comment sections if needed and if time allows. Comments should be addressed to the board or county as a whole and not to one individual commissioner or to any individual county staff member. Discussion between speaker and members of the audience is not allowed. Comments should be courteous and respectful in their language and presentation and must refrain from personal attacks and the use of profanity. Willfully interrupting, disturbing, or disrupting a meeting and then refusing to leave will be, when directed to do so by the chair, is a criminal offense. At any time, the board chairman or designee may shorten or lengthen the public comment period based on the public's amount of interest to the board to address the board. To review the public comments rules and procedures to its entirety, please visit the county website at www.co.berkeley.nc.us. Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Our first public comment to present this evening is from Chair Wesley Dudley with the Berkeley County Democratic Party. The Berkshire County Democratic Party would like to extend a warm appreciation for your consideration of our nominee, Mr. James Lee, for the vacated District 5 commissioner seat. In accordance with General Statute 153-27, we recommended an individual who resides in the vacated district who is a registered Democrat and one who is in good standing. Mr. Lee has served our great country in the military. He has served our county as a member of the Board of Elections, and he serves throughout his community as a concerned citizen. The Berkshire County Democratic Party solicited individuals seeking to serve as the commissioner to submit a letter of interest, and we followed it up with an open interview. We interviewed Carl Bond, James Lee, Ron Robinson, and Michael Williams. Each candidate presented themselves well. We charged each organized precinct to deliberate amongst their members and then cast a vote that reflected their selection. The officers, along with some Democratic elected officials, voted on November 25th, 2020. The results reflected 76% of the votes for James Lee. In accordance with General Statute 153-27, we are only allowed to recommend a replacement. We understand the selection process ends with your decisions. We also acknowledge that you represent the citizens of Berkshire County and serve as the voice of the people. We hope that you acknowledge that the voice of the people have spoken fairly, democratically, and loudly. Therefore, it is being requested that you please select Mr. James Lee to serve as the District 5 Commissioner for the remaining 2 years of this term. Once again, the Berkshire County Democratic Party would like to thank you for your time and consideration. Sincerely. Our next public comment to present is from James Pugh. Berkshire County Commissioners, this is Mr. James Pugh. All of you know me. I'll be 90 years old in January, and I have stood for justice and fairness in Berkshire County all of my adult life. I've worked to try to improve the quality of life for all citizens of Berkshire County. I'm writing to ask you to please respect the nomination of the Berkshire County Democratic Party of Mr. James Lee to fill the vacant seat of Commissioner Ernestine Bazemore. The Democratic Party interviewed all Democratic candidates for the Snakebite District who expressed interest in after conversations with the Democrats from all precincts across the county, Mr. James Lee was the strong choice of Democratic Party leadership. I then met with Mr. Robinson and Mr. Lee, and I believe that Mr. Lee's 21 years of experience in leadership position in the military and having worked with all kinds of people has prepared him well to represent the community he loves. To select another candidate, especially anyone who was included in the party's interview process, would be absolutely wrong. I'm counting on all of you to do the right thing and respect the will of our citizen by supporting Mr. Lee to fill Ms. Bazemore's seat on our board of commissioners. Thank you. Give me one moment. Our next public comment to present is from Pastor Samuel Shaw with the Olive Missionary Baptist Church. I write this letter privileged to favorably support the Democratic Party's nomination of James Lee to fill the vacant commissioner's seat previously held by Ms. Bazemore. As senior pastor of the Mount Olive Missionary Baptist Church in Windsor, North Carolina, I have the pleasure of knowing and working with James and find him to be a person of great integrity, an excellent communicator, an awesome team player, and his work ethic is very impressive. I have assigned him numerous projects, and he completed those projects within stipulated time without delays, allowing us to achieve expected outcomes. I'm certain that James's character, skills, and abilities will enhance the long and short-term goals of Berkshire County Board of Commissioners. Having said that, I have no doubt that James will make a phenomenal commissioner. Therefore, he has my highest recommendation. If you have any further questions of me, please do not hesitate to contact me. Sincerely. Our next public comment to present is from John Davis. Dear Berkshire County Commissioners, recently the Democratic Party recommended Mr. James Lee to the Berkshire County Commissioners for the seat vacated by Ms. Ernestine Bazemore's recent election to the state of North Carolina Senate. Berkshire County Democratic leadership interviewed the four applicants who applied to fill the seat. The interview process was the same for each candidate. Then each precinct leadership canvassed Democrats in the county to solicit their input. After that process, 76% of the Democratic Party leadership voted for Mr. Lee. A vote with 76% support for Mr. Lee shows broad and deep support for the candidate recommended. One would expect that a board of commissioners with three sitting Democrats remaining would support this recommendation that has such broad and deep Democratic Party support. The only way one would expect the recommended candidate not to be approved would be if the recommended candidate had known and documented deficiencies. This is not the situation with the recommendation made by the Democratic leadership. The candidate they recommended is fully qualified. Also, one would not expect the board to nominate or approve anyone who did not participate in the party nomination process. I am hopeful this board of commissioners will support the recommendation of the Democratic Party in any vote to approve the replacement for Ms. Bazemore's seat. Thank you for your consideration, for considering my comments. Best regards. And our final public comment at this time is from Dr. K. Barber. Dear Sir or Madam Board Members, my opinion, which I have written here in black and white, is not based on Republican, Democrat, or independent candidates, but my opinion is strictly nonpartisan. I presently speak in a nonpartisan voice because I do not deem to teach any office of government a lesson on politics, thereby insulting the officials thereof. My opinion is simple. Any office of government which is fair and just should automatically govern according to the will of the people's majority when logical and reasonable. If any elected official fails to do this simple and general task of serving as voice to the people's majority, then they are coherently saying to the people that my personal agenda is more important than your group agenda. They are saying to the people that your community voice has no bearing in our office. They are saying to the people that my personal agenda is more important than the people's agenda. They are saying to the people that their servitude is not democracy based, and it is an act of intent to undermine this same democracy at any cost. The position being vacated by Senator-elect Ernestine Byrd Bazemore is one of legacy and honor for the citizens of Bertie County, North Carolina. Senator-elect Bazemore served in this position entirely honorably and transparently. She served as an honest politician, and she served so passionately to the point that she was promoted by the God of our state constitution and the vote of his people. Likewise, the same true allegiance was sworn or affirmed to when our board of commissioners, you, were elected by the people's majority. At the time of this correspondence, the people's democracy amidst a catastrophic pandemic is under attack by the current national administration, the same administration which currently governs by the same people's majority has refused to respect except the people's majority of general election held on November 3rd, 2020. Because of their refusal to accept the people's majority, it has taught the citizens of our nation an especially important concept of governing. The concept learned is, if our leaders cannot accept the people's majority, then we will realign and use our responsive power at the ballot box. Due to the refusal to accept the people's majority, there is a major Senate battle taking place in the state of Georgia. Part of the reason that the people are using this responsive power is because the sitting leader will not concede to the people's majority. It is my hope that due to the suffering and growing pains of our Tier 1 county, that this Board of Commissioners has already decided to accept the people's majority so we can move on to greater accomplishments for the betterment of Bertie County and its citizens. Your service in this present season is needed more than ever and will be remembered for many years to come. In closing, it is my opinion that there are two types of government. One is a government who serves the people of the community. The second is the government who serves its own political ambitions. After today's vote, the people's majority of Bertie County will know and understand the type of government we have on the Bertie County Board, Commissioners Board. That way, the people may respond accordingly in days to come. Thank you for allowing me to voice my opinion to the officials of this board. Humbly submitted. That is our final public comment at this time.
Thank you. In the last I'm not sure what day it was. It was New Year's Eve. It's been on the news. One of our deputies was in a accident. And I'd just like to take this moment to publicly thank those citizens that came to the rescue and assisted our deputy from his vehicle. I've been told that had those citizens not stepped in and assisted our deputy, that he very well may not be alive today. The car caught fire and that deputy would have been there. So I'm very thankful, and I've spoken to three of the
Commissioner Lee, I believe your microphone has been muted.
Difficulties. Is there another one?
Oh, there you go. I can hear you now.
I didn't do anything. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. I don't know. I didn't do anything different. Could you hear the comments that I made about the deputy?
It cut off right when you said that the vehicle caught fire.
Okay. So I'd just like to take this opportunity to publicly thank those individuals. So we'll move on to appointments. The 2021 Crossroads Magazine by Ann Phipps from the Roanoke Show on News Herald. Are you with us, Miss Ann?
Yes, ma'am.
Anna, excuse me.
Yes, ma'am.
We have a handout. You may proceed.
Okay. Happy New Year to everyone.
We can hardly hear her.
Oh. Can you hear me now?
Not really. Is it just me? Okay. All right, try again.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Sorry. Happy New Year. My name is Anna Phipps, and I'm with the Roanoke Show on News Herald. I'd like to start by thanking you all for allowing me to come this evening to discuss the 2021 Crossroads Magazine. This magazine is one of the most important editions we publish. It is a comprehensive look at the Roanoke Show on area. For the 2021 edition, our editorial staff will seek out the unique stories behind the historical markers that dot the Roanoke Show on area landscape. We will print 9,000 copies, which will be inserted in our paid publications, the Roanoke Show on News Herald and the Gates County Index on February 24th and February 25th. Our readership includes Bertie, Hereford, Gates, and Northampton counties. We will also distribute additional copies to the Chamber of Commerce offices, economic development, government offices, welcome centers, which will include the Dismal Swamp as well as I-95 in Northampton County. I'm here to request your support again this year. Last year, Bertie County purchased the premium position of page 3 at the cost of $15.15. This year, we have an additional edition of digital advertising, which will include 10,000 web impressions on our website, www.r-cnews.com, for an additional $100, which will be a total of $16.15. And that'll include page 3, the timeline ad, and 10,000 web impressions. We do have a unique opportunity that just became available that I would like to mention, which is our center spread premium position of the magazine. This is two facing pages right in the middle of the magazine. The cost of the center spread timeline ad and 10,000 digital impressions would be $2,700. Back in November 2020, you all ran a public auction ad on our website, and out of the 25,000 impressions, you received 77 clicks. That's a 0.31% click-through ratio. That's 77 people within those 2 weeks interested in Bertie County. This will be a great add-on. Page 3 is your usual spot. However, the center spread is open. You can use the center spread to promote all of your wonderful things that Bertie County is doing. For example, the Cooperative Extension Center and Library, Bertie Beach Project, tourism development with a possible link to the Lost Colony, improvement and improvements to the Blue Jay community, just to name a few. So I'd like to see if you all would like the page 3 or have interest in the center spread.
What did we do last year?
We did
page 3 last time. I'd like to recommend that we again do page 3. And we had a very nice ad, but I think she is right that we could update these pictures with some more recent kinds of things, you know, like the new library corporate extension, which is, you know, almost complete. And then we have some other stuff, Blue Jays, a really nice picture just down there the other day. So, you know, this is what we did last time. And we could do something very similar, but with some perhaps different pictures. But page 3 is a great page because it really is the first page when you open the book.
Right.
That's the one that stands right out. And it's real.
I'll second that.
Yeah, it's a good bar.
Okay.
1650.
And do we want to spend the extra 100 for the add-on? Yeah, the clicks, the 10,000 impressions. Yeah, I'm a Facebook user. I think it's for $100. I mean, it's would be money well spent.
Is your motion going to include that, Mr. Wesson?
Yeah, I'd like to include that.
Okay, then I'll second that also.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. And we have some wonderful pictures from a citizen that from Bertie Beach that we could include in this also. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Miss Anna. Anything else?
Thank you guys so much. Would my contact be getting in with County Manager Juan Vaughn as far as copy and such?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Next on the agenda is the Library and Cooperative Extension Construction Project. That's the update. Do we have Amber or Danny with us?
Hi, yes, this is Amber.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Hello. How are you guys?
We're great. Are we going to get in our building next week?
I'll give you an update. And the good news is the last update, we're pretty much still tracking where we thought we would be right now this month. Okay. So that's good news. The furniture and the shelves for the library are going to be moving in the next couple weeks, so that we still are on schedule for that. So I'll just go over briefly kind of the activities on site, like we typically do. On the exterior of the building, you can see the metal panels are going up. The wood siding is being installed. It still needs to be stained, but it's pretty much, I would say, about 75% installed. The storage building concrete pad and the dumpster pad will be poured next, and then some additional sidewalks. Some other finishing items for lights, painting of exterior doors is going on, but the exterior facade is pretty close. The signs should be installed in the next couple weeks as well. The site, as you know, is still extremely wet, so it has not been paved yet. It's really one of the items we don't really know because we're waiting on the weather. Like I said, all the other concrete areas will be poured, and we're playing it by ear as far as hoping that the sun will come out for a few days and we can get it dried and get the asphalt poured. On the inside, minor painting, finishing, installing of accessories and device covers and that kind of thing is going on. Just paint touch up at this point. The majority of the paint has been completed. Carpet's installed. Tile is about 99% installed, as well as the other LVT flooring is about 80% installed. Most of the light fixtures are in, the casework is in, and the only thing they're waiting on to finish all the casework is the counters will be in next week, and then any alterations they had to do, they're finalizing in their shop, and they'll bring it back on site when it's done. So two items we had mentioned as a holdup in previous meetings were the two-hour glazing that is along the library wall that separates the library spaces and the gallery. It's still on schedule to be on site next week. So if we have any updates, we will certainly let Juan know. But that seems to be on schedule, which is great because we were kind of concerned with the delays that we've been seeing on other projects. And the other windows for the exterior that are kind of like the boxed out windows are also supposed to be on site next week, which is earlier than we thought. So we're really excited about that. And like I said, the furniture, the shelves are the first thing that's going to be on site for the library's books, and they should be on site delivered a week after next, and that is still on schedule. So the area, the library is carpeted and is ready to accept those shelves. We are just following through with all the equipment that needs to go in and, you know, checking in with the building inspector as far as moving all that stuff in and kind of where we are right now. So I would say the main thing is the site work, getting the parking lot paved, and we'll keep everyone updated as time goes on.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Amber? No questions?
Do we have an anticipated completion date at this point?
I would say at this point, we know that the majority of the furniture will be on site. I think the last delivery dates for furniture are the beginning to mid-February. I hope by then that we've dried out enough to do the parking, to pour the parking lot. It really, at this point, depends on the building inspector and whether he's going to allow people to move in. Right now, we can move in, you know, furniture and that kind of thing. But as far as people working or being open to the public, we're kind of playing it by ear. Having the parking lot paved is a big deal because, you know, right now it's gravel, but it's not ideal for people to be coming and going. So I would say we would know better in the next couple weeks as things progress and like the weather. It's just kind of seeing where the weather goes. And I still think we can do the ribbon cutting in March, which is what we told you last month. I definitely, the building will be ready. 100%. The parking lot is the one outlier that we're just kind of waiting to see how it goes.
Okay. Thank you. That, yeah. The county manager and myself have had a conversation about the ribbon cutting. So I missed that at the last meeting, that date. So that's good. We'll get something planned. Well, any other questions?
Great.
No? Well, thank you so much for this update. It's exciting. We have some citizens. Are these pictures on the part of the packet online? All right. So for the citizens that are listening, if you want to go to our website and look at the full packet, you can see these pictures of our new building. We're excited about it. So I haven't been on the inside, so these pictures were great to see.
And if anyone wants any additional pictures, Danny and I went today, and in the past couple weeks since before Christmas, there has been a lot of progress. I mean, you know, the beautiful carpet's in, and, you know, lots of finishes going in. So it's feeling more and more like a, you know, a complete building. So we can definitely share any pictures as well.
If you'll send those to Mr. Vaughn, then he can share them with us. That would be great.
Will do.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next thing on the agenda is the Emergency Management Financial Update by Collington Software Senior Vice President Dave Pickering. Are you there, Mr. Pickering?
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
I am now unmuted. I hope everyone's doing well this evening.
Yes, sir. How are you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It is wonderful here in South Carolina. I'm in Spartanburg tonight, in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and I have with me Thomas Smith, who is in our Irwin office, who handles our non-emergent. And together, we wanted to follow up on some of the items that had come up during our last meeting in October, the last time we presented to the Board of Commissioners. The first thing I want to do, the two things we do want to cover this evening is go over the non-emergent transports as far as some of the calls that we were working on, is that we were having trouble with paperwork from some of the local physicians. I wanted Thomas to give a report on what he, along with the staff, along with Director Cooper's staff, have worked on the last 60 days in the progress they've made, and report that information back to the commissioners, as well as the success and what we're still working on. And after Mr. Smith finishes up his brief overview of that, then I wanted to go over a few of the numbers as we finished up calendar year 2020 and how we're looking for the remainder of 2021. So I'll ask Mr. Smith if he can unmute, and I'll let him go over the information and the work that he's done in conjunction with Mr. Cooper's staff there at Bertie County and what we've accomplished in the last 60 to 90 days on the non-emergent front. Thomas, are you with us?
Yes. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Really quick. Just be like I said, give a brief overview. Things are going in the right direction. I know last time we had talked, we had started making plans on meeting with doctors. Cooper's staff was contacting doctors, basically letting them know that, okay, you need to see your patients in some way, shape, or form in order to get these prior approvals cleared up. And so within the first 60, I guess it's been 60 days since the last time we talked, we did get the first wave of paperwork in. All of it was good, and we billed out roughly $70,000 to $80,000 worth of charges. So I think those bills, I'm guessing, should be paid because that was about middle of the month. So that's a really good first, I call it wave, because it is getting in contact with the doctors filling out the proper paperwork, getting it to Mr. Cooper's EMT staff, sending it to us. We review it and send it up. Medicare reviews it and gets approved. On top of that, we have an additional $70,000 to $80,000 worth of charges pending on basically on Medicare's side. So we've gotten even a second wave of doctors' signatures and notes and things like that. Medicare is reviewing those for approval now, so we have not heard word from that. Also this month as well, I notified Cooper staff today and pretty much all the staff that I deal with that really quickly, Medicare has finally loosened their requirements for the paperwork, understanding that we are in the midst of a pandemic. So the paperwork that is being sent to us is basically usable for more than just the small amount of calls they would be additionally used for. On top of, Medicare calls us if they have any issues. They call us directly, and we speak to a representative that tells us explicitly, here's what we found and here's what we don't like. Where in the past, they would issue something called a PAR code, which was basically a generalized answer, like it's, you know, just kind of like, we don't like the document, and then they'd walk away and leave us and Bertie County EMS to figure out what they didn't like about it. So that, coupled on top of that, we are getting paperwork from the doctors in a fairly steady manner. Things are just moving in the right direction. So I just wanted to give that update. And then Dave, I don't know if you have anything else to add to that.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to this that this has been a collaborative effort. This is nothing that we've done or that the county can do separately, and that we've all worked together. You know, we've done weekly calls. We've worked with Director Cooper's staff to get this information and to get it up. And obviously the end goal is to get the county paid so that we do receive compensation for those services that we have rendered. Also, just to mention, this isn't a problem or a situation that's unique in Bertie County. You know, we bill for numerous dozens and dozens of counties throughout North Carolina, and this is something that we deal with, everywhere. Chewan County, Gates County, Beaufort County, Hyde County, Dare County, everywhere. It's the nature of the beast right now. We are excited that Medicare has loosened some of the requirements and have started to give us back more information and give us better feedback so that we can work with the Bertie County administrative staff and the doctors that come within the county to make sure this information is correct and we can get paid. I was trying to get an exact number on how much we've cleared up. And it's some of it would have gone through anyway, but it's somewhere around $55,000 to $60,000 in the last 90 days has come through. So that's exciting too. That's money that in the past may have been delayed or not even received at all. So I think the staff there at Bertie County on the EMS, and then Mr. Smith and Mr. Smith from Colleton, the two working together in conjunction have done a really good job. And this isn't by any means over. This is something that we will continue working on probably for years to come. We will continue to work to make sure that these calls do get paid and that the non-emergent transport division continues to be profitable and help with the overall expenses incurred by the EMS there in the county. Is there any questions on any of this?
I just had one quick question, Dave. Last time you were before us, you gave us a good example of where we were and what the expectations were. So how much have we closed that gap now to what you had anticipated? Are we on pace? Are we behind still a little? I heard the 55 to 60. Then I heard two different things, the 70 to 80, which is non-emergency, but also another 70, 80 on Medicare, if I heard it correctly.
Well, that's what was billed out. Bill out is what was sent up for collections to Medicare. It looks like we're around 55 to 60 has been cash in the bank right now. There's probably, it's a rough estimate. Again, you're speculating on what Medicare will pay and how long they'll do it and if they'll allow us to go back and clear up older things, which we're working on. But I would estimate there's probably about another 100 to 125,000 from calls in 2020 that are still out there that we're still working on. We won't go into specific patient information, but today Mr. Smith forwarded to the county a list of all the prior authorizations, the PCSs, et cetera, et cetera. And there's a couple of patients that are normal non-emergent transports that have 100 to 200 transports that we're still waiting payment on. So just one of those patients coming in and being approved for all those back transports will obviously bring a significant amount of money. As Mr. Smith reported, all the paperwork has gone up and we're just kind of waiting for Medicare to approve and for us to send that up and get paid. So as we go into Q1 here, we put some very ambitious goals and numbers on there to clear this up and to get this money into the county. And I think we'll hit exactly where we want to be. But there is a significant amount of money sitting out there on the non-emergent side, which we've been working daily on with the staff and internally to continue collecting on.
Dave, this is Commissioner Trent. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm good. My question to you is, what is our collection rate right now?
The collection rate for the county? Hold on just a second. I have that information right here. On the county, we're running about 72 to 73%, and on the non-emergent, and about 78 to 80%.
All right, so we're running about 20% off 100%. So we're running close. Is that close to the averages as everybody else is running, or are we surpassing that, or what?
It's actually a little bit ahead. On the 911 side, we're ahead. Usually 60 to 70% is considered very good. You have so many patients that are patient pay that are impossible to collect on, and information that we've talked about. The non-emergent side, I'd like to see it above 80. We do have a number of private clients in your area. One there in Williamston, North Carolina, and a couple in Windsor, North Carolina. And we kind of set a goal of 80%. So we're working to get to that 80, 80%. We do see on certain months that we've already achieved that goal and gone over it. It's just the last few months we're trying to get there. But I'd like to see when we finished up everything for 2020, I'd love to see us between 80 to 85% collection rate for the non-emergent, and maybe up to about 75% on the 911. And I think we'll be there very soon, hopefully in the next 30 days.
Is a lot of this due to COVID related because of people not being able to process paperwork on the opposite ends, doctor's ends and things like that?
Absolutely, yes, sir. Particularly we're seeing it with commercial insurance, Blue Cross Blue Shield, Cigna, TRICARE, United, the large insurance companies. A lot of those companies have sent most of their workforce to work remote. And as a result, we're seeing a slower payment coming from insurance payments. So that's kind of slowed down a little bit. As we started COVID in the county back in, or in the nation, obviously, and the way that affected the county back in March, April, and May, is we just saw a drop in the number of transports being done. And obviously, that's affected our overall number for fiscal 2020. But over the last few months, those numbers have climbed back up to the pre-COVID days. As far as internally, as far as what Colleton's doing, you know, we've continued to work every day. We continue to submit every day and to work the pending calls as necessary. So COVID has affected us initially from the initial number of calls that were sent up. And then we are seeing a little bit of slower payments, particularly with the private insurance companies. Medicare and Medicaid have been on a normal payment cycle for the last few months.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Well, okay. We'd just like to say thank you for all the hard work, and we appreciate what the staff of BRT are doing, but also you at your company. So thank you so much.
Great. Thank you very much. One final point, Commissioner, if I might. I did send some information to Director Cooper this morning to show how we finished 2020. Please note that we are still, I don't even believe we have all the calls from 2020 in our system yet. So where the call volume showed in 2019, 6,426 calls. To date, I have 5,310, but I'm positive that we don't have everything in the system yet. Obviously, I did this over the weekend, and we'll continue to receive calls for the next couple of weeks, as well as payments that were made in 2020 will continue to post. So I think we'll be exactly where to answer Commissioner Strick's question. I think we'll be exactly where we want to be once the year is over and we finish our physical year in June. I think we'll be exactly who we want to be. And I'm hoping we'll maybe get a little bit of a bump here with the work we're doing to clear up some of this older stuff, and maybe see a little bit of bump to get us ahead of budget. But I do want to thank Commissioner Director Cooper and his staff for helping us, and for everybody working together. You know, the clients of ours that work with us are the ones the most successful, and we have nothing but good things to say about the staff there. And we'll good Lord willing, this thing will be over soon, and we can all get back to the real world and get back to working.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we do have some of the best staff ever. So
great folks up in Bertie County. That's what I always tell people.
That's right. Well, thank you for being with us.
I hope everyone in the county does well, and we look forward to reporting to you all again next quarter.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
All right, so next on the agenda is the appointment of the Bertie County Commissioners representing District 5. And I was going to go into the whole spiel of how we got to this point and the process, but Mr. Dudley explained it very well in his comments, so I won't repeat all that information. So I'll open the floor for nominations for this appointment.
I have a nomination for Ron Robinson.
Nomination. Do I have a second? Are there any other nominations?
I'd like to nominate the recommendation of the Democratic Party, Mr. James Lee.
Okay. Well, I guess the order, because we got the nomination for Ron Robertson first, we will take that vote first.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to call a point of order for discussion on this prior to our vote, which
okay.
I think is all right. I'd like to read a statement into the record, which is the point I would like to make. The citizens of this county have a right to know that this vote that we're about to take
has been rigged from the very start. These three commissioners, Mr. Trent, Ms. Lee, Mr. Atkins, communicated together and decided to elect Mr. Robinson prior to the Democratic Party having a chance to interview and recommend a candidate from their party as required by our general statutes. Mr. Trent, an independent, approached Ms. Lee, and she agreed to support Mr. Robinson, and they both approached Mr. Atkins and sought his support. Mr. Robinson called me directly and asked me if I would support him. I told him clearly that I would support the nominee of the Democratic Party, and if that turned out to be him, then I would support that decision. He thanked me, but told me that he already had the support of the other commissioner. I then called Commissioner Atkins and asked if this was true. Mr. Atkins confirmed that Mr. Trent had first gone to Ms. Lee, and that they had both encouraged him to support Mr. Robinson. He told me that he was favoring Mr. Robinson, but had not made up his mind. And I understand now that that may have changed. But what makes this especially egregious is that the Democratic Party did things the right way. They sought all candidates who expressed interest, and after interviewing all four candidates publicly, they asked the precinct chairs and vice chairs and elected party officials to discuss the candidates with the citizens of their precincts across the county before voting. Mr. Lee received 76% of all the votes, more than 3 out of 4 of every vote cast. Mr. Robinson was one of the candidates interviewed, but was not selected. But the fix was already in. These commissioners have in essence said, to hell with the will of these citizens. And they made that decision prior to ever starting. Didn't anyone say we should listen to the recommendation of the Democratic Party as required statutorily before making any decision as to who would fill this seat? That never happened. This is wrong, and this is a perfect example of what is wrong with our government today. Those elected to listen to the citizens all too often decide what they want to do before they listen to the people. Thank you very much.
Would anybody like to make a comment? No? Any further discussion? So, well, and I also don't appreciate that word rigged, because it was not rigged. And yes, I was called. And when I was called, originally I told Mr. Trent, I have not made up my mind. And I hadn't. But after talking to others, my husband being one of them, because he holds Mr. Ron Robertson in high regard, and some others, when I was contacted by Mr. Robertson, I told him then. He explained why he wanted it, what his qualifications were. At that point, I had not even heard from Mr. Lee. And I told Mr. Robertson then that he had my support.
Rig is the correct word. And a better word might even be that there was collusion. Because the general statute advises us that we should hear from the recommendation. What I understand happened, and you just confirmed, that all of you made your decision prior to the Democratic Party even being notified to give us a recommendation. When I spoke to Commissioner Atkins, I asked, well, what happened? And he explained to me that both of you came to him and asked for his support. You did that prior to ever hearing from the Democratic Party, and that's wrong.
I don't recall.
That is rigged.
I don't recall.
When you do that before the citizens even have a chance to tell you the process, what did they go through this process for?
if you're not going to even listen to it before you make up your mind? That's what rigged me.
First of all, they didn't call me an ass person. They called me and asked what I was doing. I don't know that there's anything that says when a person can't make up their mind. And Mr. Weston, didn't you call me not once but twice?
Yes, sir. And never told you who to vote for or anything else. Absolutely not. I told you from the very beginning, Ms. Atkins, that I was supporting the Democratic Party nominee no matter who that was. I asked you if you were, who you were supporting. No. I wanted to verify what Mr. Robinson had told me, that he had the support of all three of you. He'll verify that. Now, he didn't just tell me that. He told people all across this county that he had the support of all three of them. Now, ask him. I think he'll verify that.
And, well, when Commissioner Trent first called me, he didn't say, will you, or ask for me to support Ron. He said, I'm supporting Ron.
So only the three of you talked. You never came to me. I'm a commissioner here. You never came to Ms. Bazemore, who was commissioner. Only the three of you decided this. Huh? Only the dialogue was between the three of you.
Commissioner Bazemore doesn't have a vote in it.
She was a commissioner.
But she doesn't have a vote tonight.
Right. Yeah, but you never contacted either one of us. And you're back and forth between the three of you.
No, well, I didn't know.
You did not.
I don't know about the other two.
All right.
Yeah. Is there any more discussion? All right, so all in favor of Ron Robertson being appointed to fulfill the rest of former Commissioner Bazemore's seat, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
All right, so I am sorry you feel the way you feel.
Don't have to be sorry. I'm sorry that you feel the way you do.
I'm not quite sure.
I'm sorry that you felt the right to go ahead and make a decision prior to listening to the Democratic Party and accepting their recommendation.
Yeah, I don't recall when I told Mr. Robertson that he had my support, if it was prior to.
Yes, sir. Yes,
ma'am. I don't recall.
Yes, ma'am, it was.
I don't recall. You may be correct. I don't recall. I'm not going to say either way. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Are there any board appointments?
Yeah.
Okay. So consent agenda, items 1 through 5. If it's okay, we'll take all of those together. And do I have a motion to accept consent agenda items 1 through 5?
Make a motion, mix up.
I'm getting tongue-tied. Is there a second? Thank you. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Ooh, ooh. So item number 7 is the resolution in support of the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners presidential initiative to promote food systems resiliency. Like, that's a hard word for me. And I'm going to ask if our county manager will read that into record, please.
Sure. Whereas access to food is a basic human need. Resolution in support of NCACC presidential initiative to promote food system resiliency. Whereas access to food is a basic human need and is vital to the well-being of a community. Whereas all 100 North Carolina counties are committed to ensuring the needs of their citizens are met. Whereas food security, defined as reliable access to quality, affordable food, is vital to a thriving community, and food insecurity threatens the fabric of a healthy society. Whereas, according to Feeding America's annual MAP, the Meal Gap Study, conducted to improve our understanding of food insecurity and food costs at the local level, the average food insecurity rate across North Carolina's counties is 14%. And Feeding America Project projects that the rate will rise to 19.3% due to the pandemic. Whereas Bertie County has a food insecurity rate of approximately 25%. Whereas the current pandemic is only further exacerbating the issue of food insecurity, and families are facing difficult decisions about how to make ends meet, including whether they can afford the food they need. Whereas it is projected that the food insecurity rate in North Carolina will rise to 19.3% due to the pandemic, and the child food insecurity rate is projected to rise from 19.3% to 28.6%. Whereas, according to state officials, agriculture and agribusiness account for 17% of all jobs in the state and an annual economic impact of $91.8 billion and is a vital aspect of the economy in North Carolina. Whereas, county commissioners have a responsibility to ensure the basic needs of our citizens. Whereas, the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners, under the direction of President Ronnie Smith, will be leading a task force to address food system resiliency to help counties take actions to ensure the resources we have are getting to the people in need. Whereas, the NCACC task force will be meeting to examine the various issues that go into creating and sustaining a resilient food system for our residents. Whereas, by supporting our farmers, supply chains, agribusiness, food industry, and hungry families, we can build resilient communities. Now, therefore, let it be resolved that the Bertie County Board of Commissioners do hereby resolve to support the work of the NCACC Task Force and will commit to examining the food system in Bertie County and take steps to help strengthen the system in the service of sustaining a thriving community.
Thank you so much. I serve on this task force, and it has been a passion of mine, so I'm thrilled to be able to serve, and our work is just beginning, so I'm anxious to see the final product that we come up with. So I would love to see this pass, but I'll take a motion.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to recommend that we approve this resolution. And I'd also like to say that the citizens know that Mr. Ronnie Smith, who is a neighboring commissioner, just nominated to be chairman of their local board of commissioners. This is his chairman's initiative. And this is a very important thing for Bertie County because we have one of the highest food insecurity rates in our region. And so we need to focus on it. There's a lot of good work going on here, but this resolution, I recommend support.
Thank I'll you. Second that.
Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So other items, discussion items, agenda one, update on the joint meeting with the Martin County and Chowan County managers regarding the regional jail. Are you prepared to give that update?
Sure, okay. I can. And you and Vice Chair Trent were in attendance, so please feel free to fill in where I leave out. But Commissioner, or at the time Commissioner, now Chair Lee and Vice Chair Trent and I attended a meeting with the county managers with of Chowan County and Martin County, along with two commissioners from Martin County and one commissioner from Chowan County to further discuss the funding for the regional jail project that has been presented to the board. I think leaving that meeting, we just had general consensus for each board to approach each of their legislators to looking for support, looking for funding for that project. And of course, as stated before on record, no decisions were made as far as committing to the project. However, all commissioners in attendance did agree to pursue funding, and they were going to do that by approaching their legislators. And then each county manager would come back and let each county know, each manager know exactly what was discussed or what progress has been made within each county.
Yes, that pretty much sums it up. Yeah. So I have contacted Representative Goodwin, and he likes the idea and was going to get with the others that represent those three counties and see what could be done once they go back into session. So we'll see what happens. You have anything to add to that?
No, I don't. It was very thorough.
Item number two, confirm work session on 1/20/21 and the swearing in of the newly appointed commissioner. Is everybody good for that date?
I do want to go back to the meeting.
Okay.
I think it might be a real good idea to bring Commissioner Bazemore, who is now Senator Bazemore, up to snuff on what we're doing here, because I think at her level, at the Senate level, we're certainly going to need her assistance around this, so we can make sure that for this County Manager, anyone else, bring her up to snuff, along with Mr. Goodwin, would be what we would
do. Yeah, well, I asked Representative Goodwin, you know, to get with all of them, and so he, we did talk about Senator Bazemore. I guess she's been sworn in.
Not yet.
No, okay. Well, Senator-elect Bazemore then. All right. So the, are y'all good with the date for the work session, the 120? And that's at 10 o'clock?
Yes, it is.
And I've asked the county manager for it not to be an all-day event. We're hoping to cut it off about 2:30. Yeah, is my hope. And you'll set up the whole swearing-in.
Yes.
All right, so calendar review, January 14th and 15th is the Legislative Goals Conference, and it's virtually, so it doesn't cost a dime for us to join in. It's a fascinating process, and Commissioner Tritt has been on that committee to dwindle it down, and Commissioner Wesson is on the board, so they've dwindled it down a little bit more, and so the process now is for us to vote on those goals. It's an interesting process. And it's really important because they then are, that team from the association will go to our legislators and they will virtually beg, for lack of a better word, to try to get those legislative goals through the legislation.
So. I wanted to really commend Commissioner Trent, because he served really on the goals committee. And the easy part for the chairs, like on my committee, we started out with 100 goals and got them down to about 9. But then we had to send those 9 up. And a lot of those conflicted with other goals, so it was a lot going on in those couple of days, John, and I was not able to be on but one day.
Yeah.
But I think that the committee did a real good job. And a lot of the goals that are important to Bertie County are in there, like broadband, like closing the healthcare gap, like food insecurity, those things that really relate directly to Bertie County. So we tried to make sure that we were able to advocate for and keep those things in. We look pretty good right now.
We do. And again, when you're dealing with larger counties, they have different needs than what we have. And I think we were very successful in getting what our needs out there needed to be and got through and put on the agenda.
Great. Thank you. So January the 22nd is Essentials of County Government, the first session. And then the 25th of February is the second session. And whether you've been a commissioner for 2 years, right? Yeah, 2 years. Or a newly appointed commissioner, or you've been a commissioner for 8 years, you can always learn something. So I plan to try to be a part of that. And I highly recommend y'all do.
Yeah. But everybody who's due needs to make sure that they do. Because if you don't, then you haven't passed the checkbox. I mean, you're required to do this every so many years. And so this is a requirement for those who are coming up.
For
newly elected,
yeah.
Or new term elected.
No, only, if I'm not mistaken, only ethics is mandated.
Right.
That is correct.
Yeah. That is correct.
Ethics is also available there.
Okay.
And it's also available through the Mideast Commission if you don't want to take it as part of this. But you're right, ethics is the one that is required. And it's available to you. And then listen to you, but it's going to be available at the same time.
Yeah. I did mine online last time.
Right. And it's much easier to do online. So,
yeah.
And then Mideast has it free too.
All right. So we'll go, if that's all for the consent agenda, we'll go to commissioners' reports, and I'll start with Vice Chair.
I have nothing to report.
All right. Commissioner Wesson?
I only have a couple of things. But first of all, I was contacted over the last week or so by a lot of the residents in my district who are on Wooded Road and that whole area. If you've been down there, and I was down there today,
got some pictures from a citizen who showed an awful lot of flooding from the ditches and in the yards. A couple of residents had water all the way up to the door, couldn't get out the front door because the ditches are backed up, and it really looks tough down there. I can say that DOT 2 weeks ago went in and did some of the major patching, and they are committed to coming back and paving as soon as the weather gives us a break on Wooded Road and Morning Road. However, the thing I would like to announce to the public and to those citizens down there in District 1, Morning Road, and the whole tornado area, that we, the county, has received a $140,000 grant from Emergency Watershed Protection Program. And we're gonna put that money to work as soon as we can to get down. This money's gonna be spent to clearing ditches, because with the fall and a lot of the leaves and limbs and everything in the ditches, that's what's causing the water to back up. So $140,000 is not all the money we'd love to have, but this is a lot to get us started clearing up the major areas and back up water areas on Morning Road and Wooded Road.
And that was one of the major concerns that we had getting that cleanup done.
Know that
timber that's sitting in the ditches.
And we'll get this moving as fast as we can.
All right, so I have some great news just from this afternoon, and I know Mr. Vaughn knows too, but I just happened to be in Mr. Biggs's office discussing airport stuff, and he had gotten a call from DOT. They went this afternoon, and we've been told that they will go down there and clean out those ditches and get some of that water so it'll run. So that's great news.
And the thing that Steve asked for is another actual cleanup. You know, this is like the debris, because that's, and it's kind of two different things. You got debris, especially on some of the side roads that was never picked up, but you also got the ditches. Some of that's not debris. It's simply just leaves and everything that haven't been cleaned out in a lot of years. So if we can get both of those things worked together, that's a big deal.
That's a big deal. I also received a call from Miss Wynn and a horrifying picture from her. So I had been working on my end with DOT and didn't know that Steve was working on his end. So, but it's done. It's going to get done. So that's great news. Commissioner Atkins. All right. The only thing I have is, of course, the airport. We should probably get clearance next week that the building is ours. Weather-wise, might hold us up, but the inside is coming along greatly. I've put some pictures on my Facebook page from my visit today. So we're looking, hopefully, to start moving in some furniture next week. And there is still a water issue, a fire hydrant issue that we're working, trying to resolve. But hopefully, that's going to take care of itself. We do have, I know Mayor Harold does not have your contact information. He sent us all, three of us, a picture of Long Branch community and the flooding down there. We do have a beaver problem down there, and we also have some ditches that need cleaning out. So DOT is supposed to go down there and take a look at that for that community. But I've spoken with several people about paying for to remove that beaver issue, and the last I heard, the residents may come together and pay for that issue to have that beaver dam removed. So if not, I may be coming back to y'all. County manager.
Yes, I have one report, Shirley, and that is an update on what Congress has done or has not done. You all are familiar with the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, also known as the FFCRA, that required employers to provide expanded family medical leave and emergency paid sick leave to our employees who were infected by COVID-19. That expired December 31st, and they did not extend it at all. So at this point, of course, everybody, we've been in contact with our neighboring counties to see exactly how they were going to handle this. Of course, it would have been ideal if they would have did like they did and just, you know, everybody, it was the same across the board for everyone and we knew exactly what was required or expected. But since it's now left up to us, what we're planning to do is to provide you with the recommendation at the upcoming work session. But at this particular point, what we're leaning towards is doing what was required previously, but we just need to dig into the details to see exactly what will be feasible for us to do and what will not. So that will be an item that I like to have on the work session for our January 20th. But again, it's just a matter of us determining if we're going to extend that, because if we do not extend it, when a COVID matter issue comes up, if an employee tests positive for COVID in the future without us extending that, or not even extending it, but us just saying that we're going to give them some employer-paid sick leave, it requires them to use their own leave. And so that's just something that we need to consider. Courtney, was there anything else that we needed to, that you'd like to add to that?
No, sir. I think you covered everything that I would have mentioned.
Okay. All right. So that's just something that we need to consider and something that, I'd like to put on our work session.
We have a few days to think on it.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
And I know you're working on the agenda, I'm sure.
Yes.
For that session.
Yes.
But I would just like to, you know, put my 2 cents worth in for, again, some fairly detailed budget status, as detailed as we can. I mean, I know it's not crystal ball.
Right.
But as detailed as we can. We're at the point of time in the year that we remember what we did last year and how we got ahead of the curve, thanks to William and thanks to a lot of others. So we need to start that process early and know what to expect and try to do the very best we can. It's going to be a tough year unless we get that local support money from the feds, and that does not look good right at the moment.
Yeah, I've asked Mr. Bone to use most of that day to update the new commissioner and get them up to speed. So certainly that topic is part of that update and getting them up to speed. All right. County attorney.
Yes, ma'am. I have one item. We'll be emailing all of you a copy of the Ted Kent Cherry complaint tomorrow, and assuming it says exactly what you want it to say, I feel confident of that. Mrs. Lee, we'll need you just to come out of the office and verify it, swear to it.
Okay.
And we're ready to go. Now, I don't have a clue when court's going to reopen. It's supposed to reopen the 14th, but the situation is now worse with the disease than it was when it closed last time, so I'm not certain about that. So anyway, we will get him. We can get him, if you'll sign it tomorrow, whenever it's convenient for you to come by, then we can get him served and start the clock running.
As soon as the internet man comes and fixes my internet, I can leave the house.
I will be there until 7 o'clock tomorrow night.
So all right.
I will, and if you're going to be after 5, let me know and I'll have another.
I hope not.
Yeah. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, so we're back to public comments. Ms. Courtney, are there any public comments?
Yes, I had one comment come in the chat box from Lalitha Ward, and it says, as a citizen of Bertie County, I want to thank you for subverting the will of the people, and that it concludes my public comments.
It concludes what?
The comments.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right. Is there any additional items that anybody would like to? Any? All right. So I will take the no closed session tonight. Yay. One thing I was thinking, and it might be, we need to start doing closed session, approving closed session minutes. Yeah. Yeah. It's no fun for any of us, but it has to be done. So while it was on my brain, I wanted to say something. So. Oh, wonderful. Okay.
typically do is send you, so you can go to a closed session, a checklist of what we think should, of course you're free to overrule us, but what we think should or should not be released.
All right.
And maybe we can do that.
Yeah, maybe it won't be so painful.
I don't think,
okay.
Most of them I think are ready for release.
Oh, good, good. All right. I will take a motion to adjourn then.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you all. Have a great evening.